Hello, and welcome to the From Arthur Seat podcast, your bi-weekly chat with some of the authors behind Volume 10. I'm your host, Sophia Holm, and today I'll be talking to Sienna D'Amato.
Hi, everyone. It's so exciting to be here. Can't wait to get started.
Awesome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's been lovely weather in Edinburgh today, where it's been warm, but haven't been getting roasted by the sun, so that's always a nice change.
Absolutely.
From the freezing cold weather.
So give me a little bit of background as a writer, you know, the track that you're on, things like that.
Yeah, my track as a writer, I had always kind of been writing little stories when I was younger, but I was, I think, too scared to do it in undergrad. So in undergrad, I did something completely different, equestrian studies, if anyone knows what that is, shout out. And then I had to take an extra class, basically. And so creative writing was one of the easiest ones to first get into. And I was like, well, I can write a couple stories here and there. And I really liked the teacher, and he became kind of a mentor to me. So I kind of just stalked him and just started taking all of his classes. And then he's the one who recommended going to a master's program. So yeah, I'm having a great time. I am a horror-ish writer, so I'm having fun with that and trying new genres or subgenres, I guess. And then hope to get published one day. Don't know what that's going to look like, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of motivates you as a writer? How did you get started? What fuels the ideas?
A lot of it is just odd little moments, like noticing how weird humans are when they interact with each other. I just really love that. And for motivation, I guess it kind of comes from within. When I reread something, I'm like, oh, that was a cool way to say that. For a while, I had it very based off of people's opinions of my writing. If their feedback to my writing was like, this is amazing, I was like, okay, cool. But now I think I've grown enough that I'm trying to change that and make it that it's an interior thing, so that if other people don't get it, and I think that's something in this program we get used to, is not everyone is going to like your writing necessarily, but they can appreciate it. And so, therefore, you really have to stand up for yourself and really be like, no, this is a choice, I like this, and it's gonna be okay. So that's definitely where it comes from for me.
Before we get into the piece, I'd love to get a brief explanation.
Yeah, it's called Rattlesnakes in a Pink Envelope. And the story is about a young person who is kind of questioning their identity a little bit. They're maybe dealing with thoughts about gender and sexuality at kind of that young age when it starts to get introduced to you and you're just a little uncomfortable with your body and you're still kind of a kid, so kid things are more important. And it takes place mainly at a birthday party, and then in the aftermath of a birthday party where there's a prank that's played and it reveals all these feelings, basically.
So without further ado, I would love to hear a little bit of the piece.
Of course. I'm going to read a little bit later into the piece, but it kind of jumpstarts the party. For the trick, you need a stainless steel washer, a jumbo paper clip, two rubber bands, and a thick papered envelope, the type Ma gets the divorce papers in. You thread the rubber bands through the center of the washer and then around the unfurled paper clip. Then you twist until the rubber band looks like fusilli pasta and place the contraption in the envelope, hoping the walls will weigh it down. The boxes are ripped apart first. He's like a bear with a tree full of honeycomb. He gets a lot of cars, Hot Wheels. He gets walkie-talkies and Nerf guns and waterproof watch. Is this what it means to be a boy? He admires his presents through their plastic but doesn't dismantle or free them. Aunt Michelle sits like a secretary with a pad and pen, keeping track of gifts and names. Ma will drive her to the post office in the morning to send out handwritten thank you cards. My gift is last. Rattlesnake eggs. Keep cool to keep from hatching. There's no snakes in here, Noah says, as he presses the envelope against his legs, crinkling the paper even more. It's snake eggs, I say, spinning up watermelon seeds into my hand. You're lying, he says. I shrug. He tears open the top of the envelope. The rubber bands are released, untwisting. The washer spins, the metal ricochets off the walls. It creates the static buzzing, rattling, like an elephant beetle flying towards you, a chorus of cicadas, a predator beneath your feet, a rattlesnake's tail. He screams and falls backwards into the pile of wrapping paper, watermelon crust, Rice Krispie crumbs, and birthday cards. Everyone laughs at him. You scream like a girl, one of the boys says. Yeah, you sound like Dolly. He does sound like me, or maybe I sound like him, like a boy.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So what did the creative process for this piece look like?
The creative process started with kind of finding two drop-in scenes, I would call it. My first one was The Birthday Party, which I haven't read for you guys, but it's a little earlier. I had this really cool image of, like, a young child, like, bringing a watermelon to a birthday party, and so I kind of went off from there. And then the prank was definitely a huge part of it. It resides from this actual prank I remember, like, seeing as a kid passed around at, like, joke shops, which is, like, the fake rattlesnake eggs. And that image had come back to me randomly one day, and I was like, oh, that's so funny and so weird and so American, I would say. And then later on, I always like to incorporate questions of queerness and gender. I don't know, as, like, a female writer, how I can approach a piece without ever bringing up gender. And so it was a little bit of mix of that. And then a lot of it came down to working with my editor and having to break down, because initially my two big scenes happen years apart from each other. And we were like, we can't do that. That's, the jump doesn't make sense. And so it was kind of bringing it down to a smaller condensed amount of time and still having fun and still having the powerful scenes and the imagery that I really liked.
There's a lot of pent-up rage and aggression kind of festering throughout the piece. Is that one of, like, the biggest themes that you were going for here?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think there's, when you're a young person, a young maybe female or a queer person, you have a lot of rage because there's a system at play that you don't understand, especially when you're a kid. You don't understand the rules, but everyone keeps pushing them onto you. And so, yeah, you have this little bit of rage. And it probably definitely came from me, like, as a little kid. I think I just had so many feelings and I was such a little body that it could only express itself in rage at times. And definitely, especially when you're hanging out with boys, you're trying to play by their rules, and that can be expressed in that type of energy most of the time.
So what are your goals as a writer then?
My goals as a writer, I've tried to kind of break them down into bite-sized pieces. For now, it's just to finish a manuscript of some kind, and then hopefully try and go through the process of getting that published. I would love to one day, you know, be an Eliza Clark type of author who just has a couple books out and is known within maybe my little writing community, and I would love to be able to interact and speak with other authors that I really admire. I also am kind of open to one day writing stuff for film and television, for also writing. I really love the stage and, like, any stage performances, and I think that's something that's lacking because film and TV is so big right now, like working at Netflix or HBO or anything like that.
And where can we see more of your work?
Currently, I am entered in a bunch of things and hopefully get into some magazines or get little publications anywhere. So currently you would just have to follow me on Instagram. It's Saturn the Goddess. I'm also a musician, so I'll probably be dropping some music soon if you guys want to check that out. But anything I'm writing, I'll probably put on there somewhere so people can access it.
Follow Woo-hoo! Sienna on Instagram. She also has some amazing oil paintings.
Oh, well. Yes. If you guys like the cover art of From Arthur C., I technically painted the front and the back cover, if you guys like them.
See, that's what I should have done this interview.
No, it was so fun. It was so fun, and I hope people like it. I hope it gets people to pick the book off of the shelves, which is kind of the whole point.
You can find Sienna's work, along with all of the other stories and poems from amazing authors in the From Arthur's Seat anthology, releasing on May 9th. The pre-order link is up now in our bio. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok, and don't forget to check out our website at www.fromarthurseat.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.